Hello, everyone. Welcome to our Course in Miracles study group. I'm so excited to be with you all again for another round of reading the text together and practicing and living these principles. So before I read the page references, let's just drop right in and turn our attention from without to within. And just allowing the mind to sink down to a place that's beneath all that surface level chatter. This is a place of stillness and of quiet that's always there. It might feel like we can't access it or that it's hard to experience, and that's okay. All the mind chatter is actually trying to hide it, trying to block it out. And so simply we can just connect with our willingness to go to this quiet space, just simply by being willing. And as we connect with our willingness, turning to our inner teacher and saying to our inner teacher, here you go, here is my willingness, I am willing. Show me the miracle. And this holy instant we give to you. Be you in charge, for we would follow you, certain that your direction gives us peace. If we need a word, a thought, or a tranquil open mind, these are the gifts that Holy Spirit gives. And we gladly place Spirit in charge tonight by our request. So taking a nice deep breath in and releasing. And with the love in your heart and light in your mind, coming together to our perception of right here, right now. So we're reading tonight from a section called The Appointed Friend. In the CE edition, it's called Your Only Friend. So if you're reading along in the CE edition, the complete and annotated edition by the Circle of Atonement, it's page 787, Your Only Friend. And in the other editions, it's called The Appointed Friend. In the original edition by Course in Miracles Society, that would be chapter 26, part 7. In the Sparkle edition, that would be page 609. And last, but certainly not least, the Foundation for Inner Peace edition is chapter 26, part 6, The Appointed Friend. I'm super excited about the reading tonight. I also loved the reading that you did 2 weeks ago with Deidre. By the way, I'm not sure if Deidre's on the line yet. She may have just joined us, but I just want to give a very special shout out in gratitude to Deidre for covering 2 weeks ago. We got some very beautiful feedback. So thank you, Deidre. Are you here? Not sure. Okay. So let's dive in. So again, the section, Your Only Friend or The Appointed Friend. Okay, so as usual, I'll just take it one paragraph at a time and share some thoughts and we'll discuss. Anything in this world that you believe is good and valuable and worth striving for can hurt you and will do so not because it has the power to hurt, but just because you have denied it is but an illusion and made it real. And it is real to you. It is not nothing. And through its perceived reality has entered all the world of sick illusion, all belief in sin, in power of attack, in hurt and harm, in sacrifice and death has come to you. For no one can make one illusion real and still escape the rest. For who can choose to keep the ones which he prefers and find the safety that the truth alone can give? Who can believe illusions are the same and still maintain that even one is best? And I will pause there. This is the complete and radical and non-dual stance that the Course is teaching us. Anything in this world that you believe is good and valuable and worth striving for can hurt you and will do so, not because it has the power to hurt, but because we've denied that it's an illusion and made it real. And then it goes on to say, it's therefore real to us. It's not nothing. So this is where I feel it's so important, again, to not... Let me rephrase that. It's so important to be where we are, because if we've made something real for us simply by telling ourselves, oh, it's not real, it's just an illusion, like I'm just going to, you know, ignore it and hide out from it, we still believe in it. Instead, this is, again, where we've said so many times, this is where we need the Holy Spirit. We give our perceptions and our beliefs to the Holy Spirit, and our belief in those illusions, we're developing our trust in Spirit, and as we develop that trust, our clinging to our perceptions and our beliefs and our clinging to illusions, that is what starts to fall away. So we can't just say, oh, not real, not going to worry about it, you know, as we like. For instance, I'm trying to remember. Last weekend when I was with Netta Boyne, we were having a conversation about spiritual communities and how one community doesn't recycle. And I was like, oh, that would be such a hook for me. And she's like, yep, forgiveness opportunity, because there, number one, yes, I've made it real. But number two, I still believe, you know, there's still part of my mind that believes in a separate sense of self. And therefore, if I'm saying, oh, you know, I'm not going to recycle because it's just an illusion, but I'm believing in everything else, that's like level confusion. You know, I can't just say one thing is not real and then believe in others. It's total. By the way, whoever just joined, I'm hearing some background noise. So if you wouldn't mind muting your line, that'd be fabulous. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Corinne, this is Sue. I'm not sure I follow you on that. Could you explain the thing you just said about recycling a little bit more?
Yeah, like if I believe, so I love recycling. It brings me joy. And if I am going to say, well, okay, you know, it's this whole world is an illusion, so it doesn't matter if I recycle or not, so I'm just going to start throwing stuff in the trash. So I'm saying like, oh, that's not real, but yet I'm saying that like, oh, you know, well, this situation with this political leader is real, you know, or like this world, like I still believe that, you know, overall that this world is real. I'm trying to deny where I'm at. In other words, if I believe that the world is real, I have to be where I'm at, turn to the Holy Spirit and heal that way, versus just trying to like intellectually be like, oh, just an illusion, you know, not going to worry about it. So we've made things real to us, and we have to be where we are, even though those things that we've made real are in fact not true. So, you know, heaven can't have garbage. Like, heaven doesn't need recycling. Like, on the level of truth, of course, you know, that the recycling is an illusion. But if I'm believing in any one part of this world, I'm believing in all of it. It's either all truth or it's all false. And the Course, like, this section is saying, like, if I believe that recycling is good and valuable and worth striving for, it can hurt me and will do so, meaning that I'm believing that it's real and I am also, you know, solidifying my belief in a body. So rather than saying, oh, it's just an illusion, I'm going to just toss it in the trash, like I need to take my beliefs about recycling, about the world, about myself, I need to take all of it to the Holy Spirit for healing. Does that help a little? Like, I feel like I did say that in a kind of roundabout way.
It does help. I need some help because of something I read. Can I get some Course opinion
sure.
on this? I was reading from the New York Times about this incredible superbug that they are keeping under wraps, the CDC. Mm-hmm. It's this thing, this mutated fungal something or other, and it's killing people all over, and it's...
Hold on 1 second, Sue. Whoever just joined, welcome, area code 415. If you wouldn't mind muting your line, because it's a little echoey, we'd be so appreciative. Thank you so much. Go ahead, Sue. Sorry.
And it's like... They can't figure out how to get rid of it. This one guy in London died, and they had to tear out the ceiling tiles and the floors and everything. And long story short, they're very thinking this is, it's all over South Africa, and they're hiding it, and they're saying that, you know, people really shouldn't go visit. So this is where I'm coming from. They're saying people should go
mm-hmm.
visit nursing homes because it's in nursing homes, and people shouldn't go visit people in the hospital because you could just touch a doorknob. It's just so virulent, you know. So I'm saying, okay, this is not real. But yet, on the other hand, I want to tell the people I love, don't go to the hospital to visit. I want to do that to keep
mm-hmm.
them from getting this supposed
mm-hmm.
thing. You
mm-hmm.
know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I need some help with this.
So first of all, let's think of some, like, very, very specific examples of people who used to go be with lepers, like people with leprosy. Mother Teresa, St. Francis, like they chose to go into these settings of this disease that was just awful and, you know, there was like no treatment for.
Okay.
And they never got it. They never got sick. And why did they not get sick? You know, I have not studied deeply about, you know, anyway, we can say we know from a course perspective why they did not get sick. Their minds were focused on the truth. So when the fear kicks up, whether it's about oneself or somebody else, number one, yes, we do need to honor and be where we are. But number two, like the deeper piece is to be, again, willing to bring our minds back to the truth. There's always been outbreaks of crazy diseases. There's always been, like, this is nothing new. It's not, it might seem like a new, you know, bug, but it's this happens regularly in this world of form. And so our protection is not, you know, avoidance or whatever. Like, the Course is saying, your protection is truth. And so at the same time, however, if we're feeling really triggered and really fearful and you feel like you need to tell somebody, you know, don't go there, then do that. But just know that that's not the answer. That's not helping that person. That's not helping you. It's just all you're doing is solidifying in your own mind that, yes, they're a body, they can be hurt, or, yes, I'm a body and I can be hurt. It's about remembering the truth and bringing our minds back to the truth. A bug, a mosquito, a fungus, whatever it is, cannot take down the Son of God. It's impossible. It is impossible. And so any witness, any fearful witness that shows up in the world out there is that grand ego distraction to try to hook with bait right back into the dream and to stay fixated on it. So I encourage all of us listening, if anybody feels like that, you know, just upon hearing this, like that tiny twinge of fear, like, uh-oh, what's this? I don't want you to brush that under the rug. I want you to notice it and say, Holy Spirit, there's the fear creeping up. Here you go. I'm willing to hand this over. Help me see this differently. Sue, you have to be where you are. If you feel like you need to say something, do it. But do it with the Holy Spirit, or before you even do that, what I would suggest prior is, like, do your best to just try to, you know, sit with the Holy Spirit, sit with your own fear, because that's, you know, the place where you can be truly helpful, and be willing to see that differently. Ask for that miracle.
That was perfect. Thank you.
And if you do feel like you have to say something, don't make yourself guilty over it, is what I want to say. Like, you know, that's where we have to be where we are, but that's not, like the end-all, be-all story. The important piece is working with our own fear and taking that to Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Corinne. That was good.
You're welcome. I know this pattern well. I went through it with SARS. There was like that. I think SARS like fell out of the like space or something. It was like a bug from outer space or something. Like, I don't even remember. All the different outbreaks. It happens. It happens all the time. This is nothing new.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
That's great.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Good, good, good. Anybody else have a comment or question before we read some more? Anything specifically about this paragraph even? And, you know, this is the thing too. So whatever triggers us, when we feel that fear creep in, whether it's triggered by, you know, the latest disease outbreak, whether it's triggered by, like, you know, a new disease, or if it's like a relative who's just going through something difficult, remember that whatever we think is good and valuable and worth striving for, even health, even the body's health, can hurt you, not because it has the power to hurt, but just because we're saying that it's real. You know, we're saying, like, it has to be healthy for me to be okay. Like that, the Course says somewhere that the body's sickness and health are they're both illusions. They are both illusions. They're two different sides of the same ego coin, because you are not the body. That is not your identity. And that is what we are learning, and that is what we are siding with, is our true identity. Yay. Okay, questions or comments so far before we read another paragraph? And this again, too, I love what this paragraph is saying. No one can make one illusion real and still escape the rest. So do we want to give them all over, or do we want to just pick and choose? I know for me, I've come to a point where I'm cool with handing it all over, all of it. Okay, so let's read the next paragraph. Lead not your little life in solitude with one illusion as your only friend. This is no friendship worthy of God's Son, nor one with which he could remain content. But God has given you a better friend in whom all power in earth and heaven rests. The one illusion that you think is friend obscures his grace and majesty from you and keeps his friendship and forgiveness from your welcoming embrace. Without him, you are friendless. Seek you not another friend to take his place. There is no other friend. What God appointed has no substitute, and what illusion can replace the truth? Now, okay, I almost want to read this paragraph a second time. This is really interesting. So in the Complete and Annotated Edition, there's a footnote, and the footnote says that this friend is your brother. Now, typically, I know when I've read this paragraph before, I've always thought of your friend as being the Holy Spirit, because in the Foundation for Inner Peace Edition, there's a couple places where friend is capitalized with an F. However, this footnote says that In Helen's notes, when she actually took this down, she wrote all these words of friend in lowercase, even though she had a propensity for putting pronouns in the uppercase that might refer to, like, the Holy Spirit. So this is interesting to me, because in the CE, it's lowercase friend. In the FIP, some of them are capital friend, like the Holy Spirit. So we know Helen had a part in editing the FIP, but when she took it down, it was lowercase friend. So I might want to read this again, because I'm guessing maybe some of us thought of the Holy Spirit when we read, you know, but God has given you a better friend. I want to read this one more time, and this time think about your friend as your brother, because it's really powerful. Lead not your little life in solitude with one illusion as your only friend. There is no friendship worthy of God's Son, nor one with which he could remain content. And here we go. But God has given you a better friend, your brother, let's say, in whom all power in earth and heaven rests. The one illusion that you think is friend, so the ego, obscures his grace, your brother's grace and majesty from you, and keeps your brother's friendship and forgiveness from your welcoming embrace. Without your brother, you are friendless. Seek you not another friend to take his place. There is no other friend than your brother. What God appointed has no substitute, and what illusion can replace the truth? So this just struck me as so powerful that, of course, the Holy Spirit is our friend. I think we can interpret this both ways, and who knows, you know, why Helen changed it later on to the capital F friend. But it also very much applies to being the lowercase f friend in our brother, because as we've emphasized so many times, the interpersonal piece about this course is that we literally, like our brother, literally holds the door to heaven within. Like we go two by two with our brother. We remember the truth through our brother, that we don't just do this work in isolation. And so this to me was really powerful. The one illusion, so the ego that you think is friend, obscures your brother's grace and majesty from you. So there it is. Our job is to be willing to see our brother's grace and majesty, even if they are behaving completely insanely, because as we are willing to perceive their sanity, not only does that awaken something in them, but it awakens something in us as well. So I just thought that was really powerful, and I wanted to just share that. Questions or comments?
By brother, you mean other people?
Yes, yes. So, but not as the body, like the Son of God that's hiding out in each body.
okay.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, this is a piece where, in my just even saying that, like, thinking about our brothers not in the body but as separate, this is where I've kind of opened my mind. And I have to say, I haven't really made up my mind, but the Course does teach there's only one, and yet there's many, many references to the plural S sons of God, like plural sons of God in many, many places, in addition to the one Son of God. So I think both are true. I think that we are many and one, because it says somewhere that the parts far exceed the sum of the, I can't remember the quote, but it does speak to me that like fractals, if you remember those fractal, they were popular in like the 80s and 90s, it's that pattern that like as you get smaller and smaller, like the same pattern repeats itself. It's like there's different pieces to it, but it's still all one, and we can't really fully comprehend that here. So so when we're reading this paragraph thinking about our friend as, yes, other people, but it is what is beyond the body that is our brother and our friend. Yeah. So other questions or comments?
Hi, Corinne. It's Deidre.
Hi, Deidre.
I just had a thought about the small letters versus the capital letters, because I've heard other course students and teachers talk about how when a letter is capitalized in the text, it's talking about like Holy Spirit or God, or like emphasizing that piece. And so I'm curious what your thoughts are on the differentiation between whether something is given a capital letter versus a lowercase letter.
Yeah, no, I do. That is true. And were you just here for what I shared about the footnote with the lowercase f friend and the capital F friend?
Yeah, I was.
Yeah, so I agree that, I'm just looking real quick at the footnote to see. The footnote does say, you know, Helen had that propensity for putting pronouns in uppercase. So I do believe that when it's an uppercase letter, it is talking about, you know, beyond the body, and lowercase could be more of like the level of form. But I have seen a couple instances where it's been lowercase, but it seems to be referring to something beyond form. I can't cite where those are, but I think that's pretty much a rule to remember, that if you see something capitalized, it's talking about it beyond form.
Because in this paragraph that we just read, it really feels like the friend being brother is emphasizing our oneness.
I do agree. I think that that's why I mentioned, you know, it's like our friend, our brother, beyond like a separate person, like beyond the body. Because I agree with you that it is emphasizing the oneness for sure.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. Thank you. And I don't know if you were here when I gave you just a big shout out and thank you for covering the call 2 weeks ago. So.
Oh, I was just probably logging on. Thank you.
Yay. Cool. So any other questions or comments? All right. Next paragraph. Who dwells with shadows is alone indeed, and loneliness is not the will of God. I want to read that one more time, because think of it as like, if we're looking to bodies, we're dwelling in shadows. Who dwells with shadows is alone indeed, and loneliness is not the will of God. Would you allow one shadow to usurp the throne that God appointed for your friend, if you but realized its emptiness has left yours empty and unoccupied? Make no illusion, friend, for if you do, it can but take the place of him whom God has called your friend. And it is he who is your only friend in truth. He brings you gifts that are not of this world, and only he to whom they have been given can make sure that you receive them. He will place them on your throne when you make room for him on his. God wills that we not be lonely, and
that
when we're
line,
only seeing, yeah, go on, Paula.
Make no illusion, friend, for if you do, it can but take the place of him who God has called your friend. That's a little confusing.
So let's say, I mean, I could speak generally, like make no illusion, make no, like, don't make the ego your friend. I'm going to speak about the ego first. Don't make the ego your friend, because if you do, the ego is going to take the place of the Son of God, who is your brother. Like, the ego is there to try to usurp the truth, to try to push away our awareness of who our brother really is, who we really are. Another way of saying that, in terms of make no illusion friend, is to not accept false beliefs in our mind, for if we do, those false beliefs are taking the place of the awareness of God in our mind. That's what all false beliefs are for. That's exactly when we talked before about, like, the latest, you know, illness or whatever that is. If we're making that, if we're believing it, we're essentially letting it usurp the truth in our mind. Like, not that it really can. It's like taking the foreground of our awareness, and it feels like such a fearful block that we can no longer see beyond it. Now, of course, again, as I already said, if we're triggered, we have to look at it, be where we are, look with the Holy Spirit. But this is really about, David Hoffmeister actually said this when I interviewed him in my podcast. He said, rather than trying to constantly dig ourselves out of the hole that we dig ourselves into with, like, ego crap, he's like, I'm about, he didn't say preventative medicine, I don't think, but it's more preventative to not let your mind drift there in the first place. So if we get hooked, we get hooked, we have to deal with it. But we can also decide, you know, I'm not making this illusion my friend because I don't want it to take the place of God in my mind. Like, I refuse. I'm keeping my mind focused on the truth.
That is truly a challenge at times.
I know, such
a challenge at times. And sometimes things will appear to happen right out of the blue, where you think you're in alignment and you're really feeling great, and
something happens
and you're like, what the hell just happened here?
I know.
And then it just seems to me once again, the process starts, or at least for me, you know. I might go into anger and rage, and then I start working my way through it with the Holy Spirit until I can finally get to that place where I feel that oneness with my brother instead of the conflict.
Yep. And Paula, I mean, that's like, I can't get into David's head, but like, you know, maybe there are some people who do stay in that like place of just refusing to let their minds go there from the get-go. But I think vast majority of us, there are hooks and triggers popping up all the time, and some still have a charge to them. And so you're absolutely right. We like get hooked, we get angry, you know, we go down that path, whatever it is. But there, I know that you catch yourself much more quickly than you used to. I know.
Oh,
I do. Like, I know. Yeah, like I know many of us on this call do as well. And so that's sort of our journey in the development of trust, is that, like, you know, the hooks and triggers still come up because we still think that there's something here that we want. We still, there's part of us that still wants this separate self. And then when the dream gets uncomfortable again, we're like, oh yeah, no, I don't want this. And again, we come back to Holy Spirit and we place another stone of trust in our, you know, in our reserves. Like, it's like we're slowly building our foundation of trust in Holy Spirit for the time that will come when we're totally ready to step into that trust and then not waver again. You know, that time, I'm saying it will come. It's already happened. It's already here. Like, that's now. It's just, again, we've chosen to forget that. So this is our journey in the development of trust. And so it's okay. It's okay. It's okay.
You know,
so thank you for that comment. I really appreciate it.
Recently, I think I very rarely have pain, but recently I've experienced some problems and have been in pain. And I find, you know, and what does it say in the Course? If there is pain, there is no God. There's a line that really talks about it. And I think on some level, you know, I've become kind of confused by it.
By what? The experience of pain?
The experience of pain. Because of my, I mean, on, you know, I think that line just kind of throws me off. Because if I'm in pain, there is no God. Do you know what line I'm
meaning?
Do you,
like,
know what I'm talking about?
I have it. It's right here. I just brought it up. So it's lesson 190, and the lesson is, I choose the joy of God instead of pain.
Right.
So it starts out by saying, pain is a wrong perspective. When it is experienced in any form, it is a proof of self-deception. It's not a fact at all. So in other words, so it goes on to say, pain is a sign illusions reign in place of truth. It demonstrates God is denied, confused with fear, perceived as mad, dot, dot, dot. It says, if God is real, there is no pain. If pain is real, there is no
God.
There
is no
God. Is that what you're referring to?
Yes, that's exactly what I'm referring
to. So that, again, is, that's the totality of either this is all an illusion or, you know, like, we can't just keep one part of it as real and then say the rest is an illusion. Like,
right.
We can't just pick and choose, like, oh, my happy little life is going to be what's real, and then, like, the rest of the crazy world is an illusion. You know, like, we don't get to pick and choose, so.
It's exactly what we're talking about tonight.
Right.
It's
exactly,
the borderland.
Exactly.
I'm hanging out in the borderland, and I don't like it.
Right, yes, it gets painful there, like when we don't fully, you know, when we vacillate. And, like, we've used that image so many times of having one foot in the Holy Spirit's camp or one foot in the ego's camp, or as Nook Sanchez has said, one foot in the ego's canoe and the other foot in the Holy Spirit's canoe. And how stable of a ground is that?
It's not very stable.
No. And so as we develop our trust, which is this journey that we're on, That's where placing both feet in the Holy Spirit's canoe comes from.
Yeah.
So if pain is real, if we're believing that it's real, if we're making it real, we're just saying like, oh, you know, I must be a body then. This has got to be real. Like, yikes. And we're denying the truth. In other words, we're saying that there's no God. And of course, intellectually, we're like, no, of course there's a God. But like, this is about transforming our hearts and our knowing, you know, getting it from like the head to the heart. That's
yeah.
why we have to go through this development of trust. We can't just slap on a bunch of words and, you know,
and once again, I think I'm trying
better.
To control all of this, because really, this is Holy Spirit's territory. This is
yeah.
this needs
yeah.
to be, this definitely needs to be turned over once and for all. And I just keep going backwards with it. You know, I keep backing out of it, giving it to him, taking it back. And
yeah.
I think that's why the situation really isn't getting that much better. Well, in a lot of ways, it has, but yeah. So
yeah,
I gotta stop this dance.
We want to do the Holy Spirit's job. Like you just named it. Like we would rather fix it ourselves because we know better. You know, we know the outcome we want, and you know we would rather do the Holy Spirit's job for it rather than let it lead the way.
Yeah, it takes a lot
yeah.
of patience sometimes.
It does, and we're learning that, right?
Yeah.
One step at a
time. I'm a slow learner.
We all are. We'll get it.
Yeah, thank you. That makes
but
me
we
feel
have
better.
It already. Again, that's
it
where,
is. Yes.
Like, you
it's
know,
done.
Yes, we have to take our minds back to remembering because we can get so easily trapped in, oh, I have so much to do, you know, so much to heal. No, it's done already. We just have to accept it. That's it. It is done already.
Thank you. That
Thank
makes me
God.
Feel much better.
Oh, good. Where was I just reading?
Who dwells?
I'm sorry. I just read. Oh, I think it was from your reading two weeks ago because I was just catching up. Let me just see. I wrote myself a note. Yeah, it was the reading that you read 2 weeks ago with Deidre. Where, and now I'm forgetting how I was going to tie this into what you were just saying, Paula, but I'll just say my thoughts, and maybe it'll make sense, maybe it won't, but now I remember. It says, time lasted but an instant in your mind with no effect upon eternity, and so is all time past, and everything exactly as it was before the way was before the way to nothingness was made. The tiny tick of time in which the first mistake was made, and all of them within that one mistake also held the correction. In that tiny instant, time was gone, and that was all it ever was. To you who still believe you live in time and know not it is gone, the Holy Spirit still guides you through the infinitely small and senseless maze you still perceive in time, though it has long since gone. You think you live in what is past. So what we're living in right now is the past. It's not the present. The present is truth and reality, and that's what we're you know, waking up to. But this moment that we believe in is actually past, in the past already, which is really head trippy to think about. But this is clearly telling us from 2 weeks ago, from the reading 2 weeks ago, that the blip of time was over the instant we thought of it, but we're still like hashing it and rehashing it and still trying to, you know, find some kind of joy in a dream. So I just thought that was really cool. Mm-hmm. And again, I said that to just emphasize the point that like healing is already, it's already been done. It has already been done. Yay. So any questions or comments coming up for anyone?
Hello. Hi.
Hi. Is that Alicia?
Yes.
Hi.
So, first off, I'm just so loving this dialogue. And it's something, you know, when you have those moments where, I'll say I had a moment where for a full moment, maybe a moment and a half, I felt totally aligned, and I really got that this was all an illusion. Mm-hmm. And I was sitting there with this friend at the park. Him and I were babysitting a mutual friend, one-year-old, beautiful little girl. And I have all these thoughts in my mind that's just going through my mind. And then it hits me. What's happening in my mind is not actually happening.
Mm.
And for a moment, I just felt this really deep peace that I am not my thoughts. I am not my body. I am free. And I just was like, oh. And then, you know, and then the moment passed and I was back thinking on my thoughts again. To have access to that moment to even be able to bring it up now, I'm really recognizing the value of even just having moments of just total alignment with truth. Like, because that one moment made a difference, because now I have that one moment to draw from to even bring up here. So that's what was coming up for me.
That's awesome. That's awesome, Alicia Bond. I'm so grateful that you shared. And it's funny that you shared. When have these, like, moments been happening? Did you say that was today?
Well, this particular moment was today.
Uh-huh. Fascinating.
Like,
so it's funny. You just reminded me, and I completely had forgotten about this, that I've had a couple. It's been just literally like a snap, like a moment, just like you're describing, like 1 second of just having I can't even put it into words, like a momentary awareness of, like, Corinne almost feeling like an empty sock, like a puppet, like I'm watching myself almost in a way, but I am, like, I am more, I feel more me than, like, it's almost like my perspective went from, like, looking out of my body's eyes, and not like I actually, it wasn't like an out-of-body experience, I don't even know what that's really like, but, like, it was just a momentary snap of just, can you tell I'm having a hard time putting this into words? My point being that, like, I had a similar experience. I've had a couple of blips like that today, and within recent days. And so it is important that we say them out loud, although sometimes I have heard other people say, like, you know, I just want to keep those experiences close to my heart, which is fine too. But I always appreciate hearing from them, because they give me hope and trust, and they, hearing other people talk about them also lessens my fear of that happening, you know, in my own experience too. So I'm just grateful to hear you say that, because I feel like the veil is getting thinner. I guess that's the bottom line.
Oh, wow. Thank you for sharing that. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I honestly would not have remembered, and now I want to write it down because I forgot about it once already. So.
You know, when she said that, I could almost imagine being there with her.
Right?
I mean, yeah, it puts you in that place. That's wonderful.
It really does.
Yeah.
Oh, go on.
There's a part of my brain is, you know, when you're so outside, like, to speak to your point, it wasn't an out-of-body experience, but I just was like, oh, this is not actually happening. And it was just peculiar to recognize, and I just thought, huh.
But that isn't that, in a sense, detachment? I mean, I can do that when I realize that I don't have to think these thoughts. I can detach and become the witness, you know? And that's, it's a wonderful feeling, because that's when you realize, yeah, this is nuts.
Yeah.
I don't have to do any of this.
Right?
Yeah.
And you know what it helped me do, Paula? It helped me to bring my mind back present to the moment. Like, rather than being in my head.
Yeah.
It helped me to get that present with my friend and the baby. I mean, they didn't know I was kind of checking out just a bit. And maybe they did on some conscious level, but on some subconscious level. But when I had that moment, it was like suddenly I no longer was so far in my head that I couldn't just be with the moment and really get, like, it was like this very distinct that the only thing that really is happening is what's happening right now.
Yeah.
Like the other stuff, the past, it does not even exist.
You know, it truly is detaching from the thinking mind. The thinking mind is the only problem we have. You know, behind that thinking mind, there's still water. You know, it's just peace. And
that's
it's
so
constant.
Beautiful.
It is always there, and it's always available. But the thinking mind, you know, when we buy into the thinking mind, it is. And the thinking mind, and not to say that that's sometimes the thinking mind can be very helpful. I mean, it's not like you can just, I don't think it would be wise to try to totally detach from it. But it is the only problem we have, the belief in giving meaning to what it has to say.
Yeah. Right. Well, I want to offer this too, because so this idea, you know, it is in a sense a detachment. I mean, the Course talks about the cleavage of the ego from you. Like, that's you detaching from the ego. But
yeah.
I want to just because I've heard a Course teacher talk about the importance of detaching, like, from your thoughts and, like, you know, to witness it all. There's two ways of detaching, however. One is trying to do it yourself, like literally saying, okay, you know, I'm just going to detach from this. It's just a dream. Like, I'm not going to get involved. I don't want it to disturb my peace. It's a detachment where we're trying to do the Holy Spirit's job. And then there's another type of detachment that comes from a deeper experiential place within us that can be, I mean, it can be more spontaneous. It can also be brought about through a Course quote, through listening to somebody talk about it, like how you just said, Paula, like, you know, hearing Elisheva share that, it kind of brought you there. I just feel like, you know, that there is a detachment that's, I don't want to say Course-based, but, like, you know what I'm saying. Like, there's a detachment that's coming from a greater place, and there's a detachment where the ego is still very much intact.
Right.
If that makes sense. Yeah, yeah. So I just wanted to add that just to the conversation for clarity for all of us.
Brian, could it be like you're in a higher consciousness level where...
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you're just sort of... not in the substream of the collective kind of thinking. You kind of raise above that.
Right, right. Yes, and that happens again through maybe reading a Course quote or having some kind of experience or, you know, whatever. It can come about in many different ways, but it's distinctly different to me than Corinne saying, oh, I'm just going to detach from this. I'm not going to get involved, you know. I'm scared of that, really, so I'm not going to get involved type of thing.
There's really no logic applied to it when I'm able to do it.
Mm-hmm.
It's, and it feels so peaceful because now you're in that place of peace.
You're being lifted above the battleground. You know, the Course talks about that. You'll be lifted above the battleground. And so that's not of us making that happen. That's us allowing. That's us allowing.
Miraculous. It's miraculous.
It is miraculous.
Yeah. It's an experience. It is not
absolutely
something you can put words to.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. You can't think your way into it. It is an experience.
I just wanted to say I had a similar experience just on this phone call for one time.
Oh, beautiful.
For the first time.
Uh-huh.
Ever since then, I've been trying to get it back. but I did, and I keep thinking back to that. It was like months ago, I think. And I'm like, was it enlightenment? It's like enlightenment or something. But ever since then, I'm like, what was I doing? I was just doing the same thing, just on the call, just listening. So, yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, yeah, that's awesome. Thank you so much for – that was Sandra, right?
Yeah.
Who was just speaking? Yes, awesome. That's beautiful, and thank you for sharing. And, you know, I don't know what it is. It's again, like a sense of, like – expanded consciousness, higher consciousness, being above the battleground, you know, having those glimpses of truth, you know, dawn upon our mind, suddenly seeing, you know, with a different type of vision. It's a knowing that's like coming from you instead of just a narrow, constricted perceptual focus based on, you know, like what your thoughts are or what you're seeing. So, yeah, I we can call it, I guess, whatever we want, but it is an actual experience that we can't necessarily, you know, we can't make it happen. We have to make the space for it to come. We have to meet the conditions of truth for that experience to come through us, versus us trying to make that happen. And we simply do that by continuing to be willing to remove the blocks to our awareness of that loving presence. Because that always wants to break through. That always wants to come through us, and we're the ones that block it. And I say that with making sure that we don't feel guilty about that or frustrated with ourselves or anything, because that's just that ego voice trying to get in there and take hold again. Oh, thank you, everybody, so much for sharing in your comments. It's been such a rich discussion. We only have a few minutes left, so we'll leave there. We'll stop there for the reading. But any other comments or questions for what is present for you?
I'll talk if nobody else is, because I have a little bit of a comment.
Go for it, Sue.
Okay, it says, this has been a problem for me. The world is illusion, okay? But yet it also says, seek not to change the world, but change your thoughts about the world.
Mm-hmm.
How can you love an illusion? If you say this is not real, nothing here is real, it's like a... we are to love everything,
yeah.
Correct?
Yeah.
An expression of...
What is real?
Love for everything, but at the same time, and I'm thinking maybe illusion means we're not seeing it wrong. We're seeing it wrong rather than it's wrong, it's not there, nothing we're seeing is as it should be. However, the illusion is the way we're seeing it. Is that a correct interpretation, or is it a flat out no? It's not even out there.
I think so. Could you say like your interpretation again, just like one time, really succinctly? Because I just want to make sure I may have missed a few words.
Okay, you know, there's some that say, you know, everything is an illusion. Everything is an illusion.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. However, I'm thinking, is the illusion actually what is in us? Because we are to change our thoughts about the world, not change the world. So
right.
As we change our thoughts, like the experiences that you have the thoughts of, oh, I'm just, you know, in love with everything. And, you know, the vision, because the goal of the course is for us to achieve vision, which is the mind of Christ, the way that Christ sees things.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So how could you see things if there's nothing there to see, if it's all, you know, if it's all... So I think our you know what, you see the conflict there?
I think so. So I'll say a few things and tell me if this helps.
Okay.
Yes, what you said, the Course is saying that this is all an illusion. Yes, seek not to change the illusion, but to change your mind about the illusion. Everything that we see is an outward picturing of an inward state of mind. But remember that that mind is not just like Corinne's mind. This is like the sleeping Son of God split off mind that is dreaming this dream. And so we're like, you know, fragments of that because we think we're separate. So the illusion, and I don't know if this is where you're going, but like imagine that the illusion, number one, it's you're dreaming of cardboard cutouts. And those cardboard cutouts look like other people and other places and other things. What you love, you're now seeing, rather than like looking through the eyes of your cardboard cutout, you're loving the truth behind that cardboard cutout, that life, that love that's there, that's sleeping, that's animating that cardboard cutout. And what's that, you know, that mind behind the cardboard cutout is projecting what's in that split mind, which is, you know, fear and guilt. And the Course does say that there's an individual, you know, we do this not only like, you know, of our small selves, but like there's like a collective sort of, you know, piece to it too.
Right. Right.
And then on that like formless level, again, it's like the whole like sleeping, the split off part of the sleeping Son of God that is dreaming this whole dream. So I don't have I think everything that you said has been accurate. So I guess I don't know exactly what your question is.
Okay, I think I've left out the part of the collective illusion, that there is a projected, you know, the conflicted mind is of the whole sonship is projecting the conflict
mm-hmm.
onto the
mm-hmm.
screen.
Yes.
So that would be the illusion. So
yeah, and it's like we're – go on.
Right, okay. That makes sense.
Yeah, so we're slow. So our individual part is that, like, we're all slowly teaching what seems to be like a fragment of our own mind, but that's actually connected to like the whole mind, the sleeping whole, you know, part of the whole mind. We're teaching it through our development of trust, through our experience of miracles, that we've done nothing wrong, that there's no guilt in us, that we don't have to be, you know, afraid of God. You know, we didn't do anything wrong, and so that's how, like, you know, this great awakening, that's at least my feeling, my
okay.
words.
It gets a little tricky.
It is. Getting
get into
this, like,
metaphysics.
The metaphysics, yep, it can make our head spin, and we have to just remember that if we don't get it, that's okay. And we just need to, what is important is bringing our minds back to the Holy Spirit and to our willingness to see it all differently.
Right, right. Okay, thank you.
That was fun. Thank you, Sue. Oh, it's good to be back. I love you all. Thank you so much for being here. We're at the top of our hour, and I look forward to connecting with you all again next week. So I'll see you then. Bye, everyone.
Thank you.
Good night.
Bye.
Bye.
Good night. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Bye-bye.